God, grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things we can, and wisdom to know the difference. Amen. Today, we celebrate the life and ministry of St. Mary Magdalene. I want to talk a little about the historical understanding of her, more about her portrait in the Gospels, and then the ways that I connect to the Gospel reading today. My initial images of Mary Magdalene were picked up by osmosis in American culture and European art. I was raised Unitarian Universalist, where Bible stories are not a big deal. The image I had was of Mary as the not-so-happy hooker. It is not consistent with Scripture, but there are good reasons why this image is so prevalent. Pope Gregory the Great preached a powerful sermon in 571, in which he combined the stories of two women named Mary in the Gospels and a woman who was never named. Amazingly, he combined them into one person, sort of like collapsing all the six men in the New Testament named James into a single person. Pope Gregory's sermon conflated Mary of Magdala, from whom Jesus cast out seven demons, the nameless woman in Luke, who bathed Jesus' feet with her tears, and whom the religious leaders were convinced was unclean, and Mary of Bethany, who anoints Jesus with nard in the Gospel of John. Shortly thereafter, the Western Church also identified Mary Magdalene with the adulterous woman Jesus saves from stoning, and then with the 4th-century hermit Mary of Egypt, a prostitute who converted to Christianity and lived the rest of her life in a cave. So we got a mess. The Vatican corrected Pope Gregory's mistake in 1969. A generation later, in 2016, Pope Francis pushed the Vatican to upgrade the observance of Mary Magdalene from a memorial to a feast like the rest of the apostles. Now, we did it in 1979, but we don't have that much room to brag. The Vatican's decree even cites St. Thomas Aquinas calling her the apostle to the apostles, which I never read while studying Thomas's Summa Theologica. I think the prevailing image of Mary Magdalene is still the less than happy hooker as patron saint of fallen women. Translate, sexually active or powerful women, whose proclamation to the resurrection was just a peculiar sidebar. Eastern Orthodox Christianity tells different stories about Mary Magdalene. She is a generous community leader who helped pay the bills for Jesus and his band of itinerant followers. She's a devoted student who carried news of the resurrection not only to the terrified disciples, she preached across the Mediterranean, including the court of Tiberius Caesar, where she was admitted because of her high social standing. And that wonderful icon of Mary Magdalene at Grace Cathedral shows her giving an object lesson on the resurrection to the emperor during a dinner party. She was a martyr to the faith in 67 AD, a martyr like Peter, Paul, at least two of the New Testament James, and many of her contemporary leaders in the church. So what portrait do the Gospels paint of Mary Magdalene? She is a woman freed from seven demons. Her life has been transformed in ways she probably never could have imagined and certainly could not do on her own. She is a devoted student who is generous with her resources, helping support Jesus in his ministry. She is a witness to the crucifixion, keeping watch only with Jesus' mother, his aunt, and the beloved disciple to unbearable suffering, just as we are sometimes called to be there, our presence a seeming minuscule comfort as we watch someone we care about go through things which make us cry like St. Mary, unfair, cruel, Where are you, God? This should not be happening. Someone make it stop. But our greatest gift in that moment is to cry silently or aloud while keeping our eyes on the eyes of the person who is in pain, so the person knows they are not alone in their most difficult hours. And then in the gospel, the unimaginable happens. Jesus died. The teacher, the leader, the hope for political overthrow of the hated occupying army, the worker of healing and unfathomable miracles, died. We follow Mary a few days later. Devastated by grief, she makes her way to the tomb. Just when we thought this couldn't get any worse, Jesus' body has been stolen. Murdered in agony, and now even his corpse has been desecrated. Mary rushes to tell the other disciples. They come, they see the empty tomb, and they flee from this new horror. Which brings us to today's gospel reading. Mary is again keeping lonely witness, this time at the empty tomb. She bends over to look in the tomb again, and she's the only person I've ever heard of who is not ruffled to speak with angels. When they ask her about her tears, she explains that someone has taken her Lord's body. Then, blinded by grief, she does not recognize Jesus standing there. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. For me, this is the turning point, the emotional heart of the reading. Jesus calls her by name in a way that reaches past her grief, her pain, her suffering, her life circumstances, in a way that allows her to recognize and affirm who he is, teacher, healer, and miraculously the risen Lord. How do we hear Jesus call us by name? Is it in the face of a hungry person to whom we serve a hot meal? Is it in the story of a refugee seeking asylum, being held for months before their first court date? Or the wails of their infants torn from their arms? Is it in the beauty of the liturgy, in the exquisite musical harmonies we hear or we sing, in the elegance of a mathematical formula, in the light of the stars in Orion's belt, which we see in a telescope, light that left those stars in the Middle Ages? There are so many ways we can hear our name being called. When we, like Mary, realize that we are intimately known and cherished by God. Usually, this passage reminds me of when I first clearly heard God call me by name. But this week, I heard something else. I heard the echo of the woman at the well earlier in the Gospel of John. How she realized Jesus knew her deepest self. How she went to tell others what she had heard. And how amazingly, Jesus first disclosed himself as the Messiah to this outcast woman. The Samaritan woman was a triple threat. First, she was a woman. Like Mary Magdalene, by her gender, she was not allowed to be a witness in a court of law. Second, she was a Samaritan. The Jim Crow laws of her day were fiercely in place. Jews and Samaritans could not share anything, not a well in the desert, not a cup to hold the water, not a place of worship. And third, she was divorced, more times even than our 45th president. And this is the person to whom Jesus first identifies himself as the Messiah. She says, "I know the Messiah is coming." Jesus says, "I am he," meaning the Messiah, then reiterates, "the one who is speaking to you." The Samaritan woman races back to town in the heat of the day. "Come and see, he can't be the Messiah, can he?" Just as Mary Magdalene is entrusted with news which changes the world, Go to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my God and your God. The gospel tells us Mary Magdalene came, announcing to the disciples, I have seen the Lord, and that he had said these things to her. Who announces to us today, I have seen the Lord? Maybe someone whose legal standing is compromised, who is subject to systemic discrimination. Maybe those whose voices are silenced on a regular basis. Who is our Mary Magdalene? Where has she seen the risen Christ? And most importantly, what must we do if we believe her? Amen.